Welcome to the 127th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. As usual, I'm joined by the ever so lovely Quizmaster, Mark Davis.
Just sitting here being lovely. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's good to be with you again.
Yeah, I lied. I'm not doing fine. I'm upset.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I have to talk some shit right now, actually, because you can't fucking listen to a podcast without hearing a goddamn ad for Purple Mattress. Know what I'm saying?
Yes. I think Kylian told me a little bit about this.
Yeah. And I ordered one. Mm-hmm. I ordered one. They indoctrinated me, a podcast listener. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this purple shit out. And then yesterday I got an email that said your purple mattress is arriving tomorrow. And I was
How fortunate.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, you're the GIF with the guy looking out the window, making the hands together.
That is exactly who I was in that moment. And I ordered a new bed frame, all ready to go. And my mattress and my bed frame right now, they are like years beyond needing replacement
right
at this point. And I was fine putting up with it for a while. But once you order the new, you start noticing like
he's making Italian
fingers. Gosh, my back, all these little aches and pains when I wake up. And so I'm counting down the days. I'm like, I can't wait for that new mattress to get in, you know? And so, I woke up this morning and I was like, last time I got to deal with that shit, ready to go. And I start to take apart my bed. Because I'm like, today is the day. I'm going to get my new mattress in. I'm going to put everything together, put the bed together.
You got the email.
Yeah.
It's as good as a promise.
Bulk trash pickup is coming. I want to get this old fucking bed out of here.
Yes.
And then I go, maybe I should check my email one more time. Just check the tracking on that.
Oof.
And what does it say today? Monday. 3 days later.
That's a long time.
I have three more days of this. Now, I understand things happen. But don't send me an email with the subject saying your mattress arrives tomorrow if you're not absolutely certain.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
People are making plans. They're planning their life around this.
I'm planning on purple.
He's got all his money on purple.
Yeah. So this is one podcast where we will say, don't get a purple. Okay.
Yeah.
Even if the mattress is good, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you about it.
Yep.
This is pure anti-purple sentiment on this podcast right now.
And if you have a purple mattress, set it on fire.
Sure.
Maybe outside.
That's your business. You know,
that's on you.
Yeah. But anyway, other than that, I'm doing fine, I guess.
Well, I'm sorry. Did you already have your bed in a state of disrepair?
I was so close. I pulled the mattress topper off and the sheets, and I said, I better double check before I pull this thing apart.
Well, thank goodness that at least that happened.
And that's such a me move to just start taking it apart and then figure it out after the fact.
It's such a man thing to do. That's exactly what I would have done.
Yep. And it's a bulk trash pickup comes early. I even asked Kyle, I was like, can we just like wake up early tomorrow morning? Like, you know, can I get you up a little bit earlier so I can take this thing apart and we can just get rid of it? And she's like, oh, fine. So we like, you know, got up and inconvenienced ourselves. And again, I understand that accidents happen, but don't send me an email saying it's coming tomorrow. We'll see, you know, it's coming tomorrow.
Yeah. You can't take that back.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take that back.
It's coming soon.
Okay.
Coming momentarily. Coming ASAP. Those are acceptable.
Momentarily is even momentarily means like expect to knock at your door.
I suppose you're right.
Momentarily would be worse than tomorrow.
Anyway, hopefully, listeners, by the time you hear this, I'll be sleeping on my new mattress. I probably shouldn't even say the brand name. Should just let people wonder.
Okay.
No free ads. I mean, that's the whole point. Like, we set up this whole thing with the Patreon so we didn't have to fucking talk about mattresses. And here I am.
Hashtag is an unad.
Is an unad. I like it.
Yes.
I like it. You know what I like more, though?
What's that?
Trivia, baby. You know.
You know, tasty treats for your mind.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you have a special quiz for me today.
Are
you going to give me any kind of heads up on what that is, or am I going to have to discover it?
Oh, no, I will when we go over our categories for today. I do want to say real quick, I did get a little head start on trivia today because I went and ate some deep dish pizza.
Oh, yeah. I saw the picture. That looked amazing.
With my friend Marianne, and this gentleman came by with a little newspaper called the Coffee News, which is just a big sheet of paper folded in half. And there was some trivia in there. Okay. And I'm glad to say We were 5 for 5, nailed all 5 questions.
Oh, okay. So your brain is primed.
Yeah.
For trivia. Yeah.
What kind of wood is usually used for wine barrels?
Oak?
Yes.
Okay.
Who invented the elevator?
Did you ask about this?
I did.
Haas?
No.
Haas?
Elisha Otis.
Otis.
Now, I did say Otis. Mm-hmm. I said, and the first name was something with an E, but I would hope that the quizmaster would give me points for Otis. Mm-hmm. I think I would have gotten points. I think knowing that is enough. And then there were some other ones. Yeah. And then there were some other ones that we would 5 for 5. So I feel primed. I feel ready. My energy's up, baby. I feel smart. I feel ready. We don't have sussers this week, so
no, we're going to solo suss.
I need all of that I can get.
Well, I'll give you a little heads up on the categories I'm going to ask you here.
Please do.
Academy Awards. Mm. Sports origins.
Yes.
Avant-garde music.
Mm-hmm.
American desserts. Award-winning cartoons. Fruit slang. And Grammy Award records. Those are the categories. Lots of awards in mine. I guess it's the end of the year, you know. Award season is upon us. Got it on my mind.
It's the end of the year as we know it. Yours will be Bible.
Oh, no.
Information. colleges. Jazz music. Punk music.
Hmm.
Caves. College football and German drinks, and they are all together under Steely Dan related trivia. I have a Steely Dan trivia.
Wow.
For okay. you today. 7 questions based off of the 7 albums before their departure from each other.
Hmm.
So I was, when you told me that we weren't going to have a guest, I knew I was going to ask 7 questions. So in order from 7 first albums, to last 7 albums, I'm going to give you trivia related to a song from each album.
Oh, a song. Okay. I was going to say, I only know a couple of the album titles. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, before we get to our quiz, how about we go over our weekly wrap up?
Let's do it.
On Monday at the Palace Pub and Wine Bar, it was a battle between 3 teams. 2 blondes and a brunette walk into a palace. Warlock, Slut, Rainbow Titties, and Matt. And a team comprised of Mark Davis and Seth called Bitch McFuckhole. Yeah, and all 3 teams tied in the first round, but it was Bitch McFuckhole who swept the quiz, ending with 108 points. Nice high score there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys did awesome.
Felt pretty good.
On Wednesday at Pointy Bell Brewing Company, we had several teams competing for the grand prize. The first round went to Yikes, while the second and third went to Forby, and the microphone smells like a boner, respectively. Mm-hmm. Forby was the overall victor with 89 points. Mark, how did your trivia go at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday evening?
It went well. We had a good amount of teams inside. We had a team named Dumb Bitches who won't get any questions right, who got exactly 1 question right. I actually had everybody them a round of applause.
Their name was almost accurate. Right.
I know. For the first and second round, there was a team named The Steelers Are 11-0. A husband and wife who were playing kind of on a lark. And ended up winning the first round and won the second round. The third round, I told them they were just going to, I just gave them the first round first. They said they were going to stick around, won the second round. The third round, I told them, the third round, you're going to be wagering on the last question. You know, be careful how you wager. I asked the question, I came by the pick up the slips. They were still iffy on it going back and forth. So I walked away, collected the rest of the teams, went back to them. And saw they had the wrong answer. And they were thinking about how to wager. And I said, all right, well, you know, the big question now is how you wager. And they wagered 20 points. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing?
Yep.
And
I had something similar happen a couple weeks ago. Team was like, I could tell they were all debating. Didn't know it, but they had the right answer down. And then somebody just was like, fuck it. And wrote 21. And I was like inside, yes.
Yeah, awesome. Sometimes it pays off. In this case, It did not. They had 20 points. They wagered 20 points. The end of the night was 0 points. The winner, there's some ho-ho-hos in this house. with a young lady named Faye, who's played there a bunch on my trivia. ended the night with 6 points, only wagered 1 point at the end, and she got one of the pretty hard questions right. She also was the only person that did not want to wager 20, and so she didn't wager 20. Everybody else said, let's just go big or go home, and she said, no, we know we don't know this. We know that we're unsure. Let's go with one. That's and smart. End up saving their ass. They end up getting a $25 bar tab with 6 points.
That is a crazy low winning score.
It
six
is.
Points?
I was laughing. And I've been having a lot of fun with the Zoom people. You know, I know Matt has been playing a bunch, Elise, all the Whiskey Tango people, Kenya. And then this week, we were lucky enough to have Aaron Dyer play with us. And got to talk with him a bunch. That was a lot of fun. He did well. And I've been having a lot of fun talking with them in between rounds, kind of like going over, you know, me going through scores and stuff, and kind of laughing when I'm adding up scores of people in house, and just kind of being like, oh man, this is gonna be nuts. I can't believe, you know, that someone wagered 20 points and missed it like this. So it's been a lot of fun. If you kind of want to get a glimpse into the back seat, into, you know, what's going on under the hood, the Zoom trivia can be a pretty good amount of fun, and everyone's kind of getting a nice rapport with each other on Zoom. Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt with 71 points, but could not be eclipsed by Ye Old Well Read Slut with 90 points. Elise winning out of all of the people on Zoom.
Got a name upgrade there for Elise.
Yeah. She was like, I'm not dumb. Come on. I'm winning all this trivia all by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say that I'm dumb.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live this week, you have a few opportunities to do so. Tonight, Monday, December 7th, we'll be back at the Palace Pub and Wine Bar for live trivia, asking questions about Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, the NBA, wine, architecture, and Christmas, among other topics. Join us at 7:30 p.m. to play trivia. Have a chance to win some free bottles of wine. And this Wednesday...
Bottles of wine?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my voice right now. It's very strange. I need that mattress.
Badly.
This Wednesday, December 9th, we're back at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida. Categories will include beer, fishing, 70s music, Marvel, beverage recipes, geography, and more. That starts at 7:30 p.m. at Pointy Bell in Fort Myers. More details in the show notes. If you're in the Cape, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesday at Nice Guys Pizza in Cape Coral, or as he mentioned on Zoom, starting at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And on Thursday, December 10th, we're back on Twitch for a weekly virtual trivia night. I'll be asking questions based on our player requests, including board games, 90s Nicktoons, pro wrestling, defunct sports stadiums, natural disasters, 2000s era music, types of sandwiches, and more. Come play, and you can request categories for next week's virtual quiz. We'll start at 8 p.m. on Twitch. You can follow us at twitch.tv/nononsensetrivia to get a notification for that. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media and join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you?
That was a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mark, I'll tell you, I didn't even have a chance to talk to you about this yet, but I set up a subreddit.
What's up with you Italian fingers today?
I'm just speaking with my Italian hand. I
You're
got an Italian
so
hand right now.
You're doing so much Italian fingers. Like, as soon as that emoji came out.
I love it.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. And it's good to just, you know, it's like I'm telling you something tasty right now. You
it's kind of like a claps chef, in
it's almost
between.
Like, it's a half chef's kiss.
Okay.
There's no kiss involved yet.
Right.
But it could be kissed.
You're preparing for the kiss.
Could be kissed. I set up a subreddit for No Nonsense Trivia because we just get shit on the subreddit for regular trivia. Every time I post an episode of our podcast, there are just, I don't know what it is. You'd think that people that are into trivia would love a trivia podcast, but they just downvote that shit immediately. So I had to carve out our own little home over there, and I've been setting it up. Like I said, I hadn't even had a chance to talk to you about it, but somebody found us anyway, and they wrote, "What? How come there's nobody else here? You guys are awesome. What's going on?" And I was like, to be honest, you've made a for real discovery. We haven't talked about this at all yet. So congratulations to you. Thank you for being our first member. And if you are listening and you're on Reddit and you want to join us over there, maybe you're not on Discord, maybe you're not on Facebook, but you are on Reddit, you can do so. It's just /r/nononsensetrivia on the subreddit. And join us, won't you? Yeah, on Reddit. Cool. Let's take a little break, and then we'll be back with some Steely Dan trivia, or Steely Dan inspired trivia in round one.
All right. Are you prepared for some trivia?
Oh, yes. Give me the Dan.
The first album, Can't Buy a Thrill.
You're even being generous enough to give that to me.
Yeah, I'll tell you the albums for sure. It doesn't really have anything to do. The song Do It Again references milk and honey with the line, your black cards may make you money, so you hide them when you're able. In the land of milk and honey, you must put them on the table.
Mm-hmm.
The term used in what book of the Bible that was traditionally ascribed to Moses himself? The term milk and honey.
In the land of milk and honey, you must put them on the table. Yeah, you go back, Jack, do it again. We're turning round and round.
You go. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
Yep. Great song.
Beautiful song.
I feel like that's the Steely Dan theme that I play when you're playing trivia.
Mm-hmm.
I play Do It Again.
Everyone knows it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's Genesis. I don't think Moses shows up in that. It takes a while to get the world going.
He only shows up in episode 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's like finding out Cosmo Kramer's first name was revealed in episode or in season 6.
Moses. This is an Old Testament book.
Can't teach an Old Testament new tricks.
But let's see here. Plagues, Book of Plagues. That's not what it's called. Because Moses was like, don't piss off God. This is what God doesn't want you to do. It's on these stone tablets here. You know? Oh, you pissed him off. All right, follow me. I'm going to part these waters. You just follow me through. I got to get you guys out of here now. All the Jewish slaves. Come on, let's go.
Let go.
The book of let's go. Genesis, Book of Judgment, Book of maybe it's a person's name. There's that guy who almost sacrificed his son. What's his name? Oh, what's his name? He put it, God was like, sacrifice something for me. And he was like, all right. Here's my son. And he raised his dagger, and the angel was like, don't! He was just testing you!
Oops.
The kid was like,
sorry.
For real, Dad? For real? What was his name? I don't even know if it's the book of a name. Because in the Old Testament, I don't think a lot of the books weren't named after people. So this is just a lost cause anyway. But man, I'm sad that I don't even remember his name. It's not Joseph. It's not Jacob. These are all descendants, maybe, of this person. I don't know. Man, shit. I'm just going to say the Book of Laws. The Book of Laws. Moses, he had the Ten Commandments.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. You know, you were going, you were going up the right alley.
Is the name?
With the book of Let's Go.
Oh, really?
The book of Exodus.
Exodus.
Let's go. When How you were saying, you were like, they got them all out of there. They all left. But let's go. I was like, oh my God, he's going to get this. It was the book of Let's Go.
Oh man.
Also known as the book of Exodus, going to the land of milk and honey, the promised land.
I see.
As talked about in your Jewish religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, it's not my religion. I was raised, but I left.
So. You were raised by
rabbis. Some are raised by wolves, some are raised by rabbis.
I was trying to make a raised by TV reference, but it didn't happen.
Academy Awards. My first category for you.
Okay.
This is more about Academy Award winners, I would say.
Okay.
What 1994 Best Picture winner? Do you know it already?
Nope.
Okay. Featured the big screen debut of actor Haley Joel Osment and was released in 1995 on Laserdisc with no chapter selection, as the director wanted viewers to enjoy the film in its entirety.
Well, I really only have one movie that I know he was in early on. I don't know if it's too early for it, though. I feel like it might be, but I really don't have... I'm thinking it's got to be The Sixth Sense, because I know he was in it, and I know he was young in it. He may have been in something earlier, but The Sixth Sense everyone loved, and it would make sense to not have it scoot around because of the big, you know, the big payoff at the end that the Titanic sinks.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm going to have to go with The Sixth Sense.
No, I'm sorry. In this movie, Haley Joel Osment played a young Forrest Gump.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think Sixth Sense was maybe 98.
Okay, 97. I figured it was a little bit later.
Yep.
Huh.
It was, Forrest Gump was the second highest ranking film at that year's box office, beating The Lion King, or beat by The Lion King. And just another fun fact about that movie, author Winston Groom originally envisioned John Goodman for the lead role of that.
Really?
Well, in the book, he's 6'6 and like 280 pounds.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
So
Tom Hanks is quite svelte for the character.
Indeed he is.
Mm-hmm.
Steely Dan's second. Do you know Steely Dan's second album?
Asia?
No.
No?
Jesus, that's embarrassing.
Uh-oh.
Countdown to Ecstasy is their second album.
Cool title.
I remember the 35 sweet goodbyes when you put me on the Wolverine up to Annandale. The beginning lyrics for the song, My Old School, is a reference to heading back to which private liberal arts college that overlooks the Hudson River in New York.
Hmm. Private liberal arts college that overlooks the Hudson River.
And you can see the Catskills. I'm sure that's not any huge help, but...
Are they a New York band?
They were from New York.
Okay.
They ended up moving out to LA later on, of course. But both members did attend this university. Again, I don't know if that's any help, but... I remember the 35 sweet goodbyes. When you put me on the Wolverine up to Annandale. Great horn part in that song.
Hmm. I don't know.
While he susses, I'll let you know that a big part of the reason that I'm doing this is because Spotify just did their Wrapped, 2020 Wrapped, and my top five songs were all Steely Dan songs, and Steely Dan was my most listened to album.
Is it Columbia University?
It is not. I'll give you one more little clue to see if it helps at all.
Okay.
What if I told you the name of the university is a name that is also associated with Dungeons and Dragons in some respect?
Whoa.
That just like knocked you back. You just got knocked down like Nate Robinson.
I did have that look on my face like, what the fuck did I just get myself into?
I hate Jake Paul, but holy shit.
I was so sad to see that he is doing well in anything. He is just so obnoxious.
Well, he immediately called out Conor McGregor, which is a giant fucking mistake. I don't know why the hell.
We'll see. I didn't know that Jake Paul, I mean, could even win a boxing match. So I'm not, you know, I'm not assuming anything about him. But just an obnoxious person.
Conor McGregor will knock his teeth out of his mouth.
Also, I don't like Conor McGregor either.
I don't either.
It's a lose-lose for me.
But like, I don't know. Conor McGregor has been put in his place. Mm-hmm. The least we can do is have Jake Paul put in his place now.
Let them fight.
Indeed.
Gygax University?
Bard College.
Bard College. Oh,
Bard,
okay.
Bard College.
I've never heard of that.
It is a pretty prominent New York university, a private liberal arts university. Both of them went there before joining.
You're telling me that the songwriters and Steely Dan went to a place called Bard College?
I am. That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Wow. Yes. Okay. Sports origins, my second category for you.
Okay.
Played with a leather ball filled with feathers and hair. In what country was the sport of soccer invented?
I feel like this is something I should know. Played with a ball filled with feathers and hair?
Yes.
Human hair?
I'm assuming there's some human, there's probably some animal hair, just any hair you got lying around.
You're going to hunt me for sport?
Yeah, just put that hair together, wrap it in some leather, and you got a soccer game going, baby.
Baby, yes, do go. You got a ball going. Well, I know it's really popular in the UK, and I know it's really popular in South America and Central America. Is the place that it was started in the place where the fans are like the most insane? Thing like Brazil. You know, people are nuts about something because it is the home of it, or because they are just good at it. God, I asked a question about Diego Maradona at my trivia this past week.
R.I.P.
And I was watching some clips of him. Jesus Christ. He just makes people look like fucking fools. Mm-hmm. Watching the best, like, sports athletes do their thing that make other professionals that get paid a lot of money also look like 4-year-olds, like at the thing that they're a professional at, is just like so befuddling.
And I feel like that's amplified in soccer because when you get shown up in soccer, the other player just looks like they're having the fucking time of their life. Mm. You know what I mean? They're just like running and kicking the ball, just having a good time. In basketball, it's like, oh, they're close. You know, they might get blocked and fall over or something, like, oh. But in soccer, you just break away. There's no helmet, so you can see their face. And they're just like, wee.
Yeah. And then someone takes a fake dive and it's terrible. I'm going to say, you know, Scotland is the home place of golf. I'm going to say England.
No, Mark. It was originally called Suchu, which means kicking ball when translated from Chinese.
Oh,
China is the answer.
Man, China starts everything.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to learn that fact, too. Yeah. I did not know soccer was a Chinese sport.
Album number 3, Pretzel Logic.
Mm-hmm. And that does have a photo on it that looks like it's New York.
It does. Yes. It's someone selling some hot pretzels. You know that I also have been known to make a pretzel or two. The instrumental song East St. Louis Toodaloo is a cover of a song originally written by what jazz pianist and composer born in 1899? Based out of New York for most of his career.
Um, Okay. Well, again, I don't know. Originally, I was thinking maybe it's like a Thelonious Monk song. He's like kind of a notable jazz musician, known for his avant-garde playing style. But 1899 seems a little early for him, because I know he gained prominence in the 60s, and I don't think that he was 60 when that happened. So maybe it's somebody earlier. And jazz is so connected to the 60s, though. Like, I know that there was people involved in jazz that worked earlier. I mean, if you're born in 1899, you're hitting your 20s during the Great Depression. So maybe you're like starting to gain prominence in like the 30s or 40s. Maybe they were, I don't know. I was going to say maybe they were involved in ragtime, but that was I think, even closer to the turn of the century. Ira Gershwin. Jelly Roll Morton. I'm not sure that he was jazz necessarily. And I'm not sure that Gershwin is either. But I'm pretty sure all three of those are piano players. Maybe it was Thelonious Monk. Maybe he wasn't in the 60s. Maybe his rise came earlier. I know he's definitely associated with jazz. Morton and Gershwin, I think maybe ragtime and classical or big band. So I'll go with Thelonious Monk. That seems like somebody that they would be interested in anyway. Thelonious Monk is my answer.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. You were starting to go down the right path with ragtime jazz.
Mm.
His first song was The Soda Fountain Rag, as he was a soda jerk in the summer of 1914. He was born Edward Kennedy Ellington, also known as Duke Ellington.
Oh, Duke Ellington.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Skipped and right over that.
His version is the old East St. Louis Toodaloo. It was covered on, instead of trombone, I believe it's trombone in the Duke Ellington version, on a slide guitar or a steel guitar. In the Steely Dan version.
Sounds interesting. I'll have to check that out.
It's pretty good.
Instrumental
track. It's not great, but it's all right.
Avant-garde music, my next category for you.
Okay.
What band that formed in 2011 funded an admission-free tour by releasing a silent album on Spotify in 2014 called Sleepify, highlighting how easy it was to game the streaming service's royalty system?
Finger assuredly over the yes button. I did ask for you to ask a question about this band, and it looks like I'm getting it now. And this is a very, very cool thing that they did. They basically had made so people could stream their album overnight over and over and over again. The songs were short, so it could stream over and over and over again, giving them royalties. And then they toured and made their admission for free. And that band is called Wolfpack.
Very nice, Mark.
Thank you.
I can't put it past you. Yes, the album generated $20,000 in royalties. Jeez. Over a two-month period. The album was removed by Spotify.
They were very mad.
Yeah, they cited it as violating their terms of service. But curiously, the famous silent piece 433 by John Cage remains uploaded as both part of an original album release and as a single.
Huh, isn't that strange?
Yeah. Mm. So I guess if you do it for art and not for politics, it's fine. But as soon as you try to bite the hand that feeds you, no, no, no.
No, no nonsense.
They did, in fact, pay the royalties out, though. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
But they probably get plenty of money from merch.
It took a while, though. Like, they didn't get the money immediately. They took the album down, and I think Wolfpack had to, like, I don't know if they, like, threatened to sue or something, but they got their money.
There's a clip of Jack Stratton, basically the leader of Wolfpack, on a few different like talk shows talking about the whole thing. It's very, very funny.
Interesting concept. Yeah. And all the titles of the songs, it was called Sleepifier. Z, 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 Z.
Okay, speaking of Z's,
that's the last track.
Let's take a break and then come back with some no notes and miscorrections.
Yes,
and then a second round of trivia.
All right, we're back, and it's time for some missed corrections.
Howard Dean does it again.
Yes, thank you, Mike C., for the missed corrections theme. I just got a couple things here. The Terminator came out in 1984, not 1982, like we sussed, which is kind of close. It wasn't too far off.
I'll take it.
And we had a note here from Team Captain Aaron. He wrote in our Discord server regarding your medical Xavier question. I value xylophones like cows dig milk, which is a reverse medical Xavier. It's a little bit more straightforward. I think that that would work really well for an easy version of that question. Yeah. You know, because they're all in order. There's no extra letters. Yours is like a bit more difficult. It's more puzzly. You have to do more twisting. Yeah, I've never heard
the medical Xavier thing. And then when I, now that I know it, I will never forget it. Yeah. But that is also very good.
We also heard from Matt Hoffman, proverbial lightkeeper Matt, this week. He said, in regards to the Louis question, although it is correct that Louis the 16th was married to Marie Antoinette, it was actually Louis the 14th who was nicknamed Louis the Great, as well as the Sun King.
Ooh.
Yeah. So just a bit of a miscorrection
that
there.
That is my mistake. I apologize.
And we have a quick miscorrection here from Sarah related to Aaron's stethoscope question.
Ah.
She writes, hey guys, wanted to send in a note about Aaron and the stethoscope. He is absolutely right. Professionally, the inventor felt uncomfortable and that it would be inappropriate to lay his head on a large-breasted woman's breast in order to hear the heart sounds.
Small breasts, no issue.
I guess because you're closer.
Large breasts.
Yeah.
Watch the hell out.
Which was the way physicians used to do a heart exam. By putting their ear up to the breast in order to hear the heart sounds. Additionally, for large-breasted women or men, you wouldn't hear much in this fashion. I actually read a description by the inventor explaining this in the Pharmacy Museum in New Orleans. Sarah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so sorry, Aaron, about not believing you. I just, you know, took a cursory glance at Wikipedia and didn't see anything.
I think you just said that you weren't able to hunt anything down. I don't think you necessarily said it was wrong.
You're right.
Inconclusive.
But it's good to know that that wasn't just a total misinformation. So this is a miscorrection.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have any miscorrections or no notes?
I don't.
Okay. Well, that's it. If you want to write us with a miscorrection, you can do so at nonsensetrivia@gmail.com or give us a call at 1-929-356-6966. It's been
a week.
It's been a little over a month, actually. It's been 1 month since you called us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need a phone call. We love hearing your voices, y'all.
I know Marissa is out there, and she listens all the time, and she told us that she has a Rate My Question. And I told her to call it in. I said, please, call it in. Don't be, you know what? Call it in. You don't even have to tell us your name. Just call it in. You can use a voice thing if you want, so you sound like a robot.
Hello, Sydney.
Yes.
I have a trivia question for you.
Exactly. Yeah, you can do... I wanted to make a misdirection.
Those things are like $5 at the dollar store, you know. They look like a giant megaphone.
It'll look pretty cool. Yeah.
All right. Let's kick off round two here. I have a question of American desserts for you. What popular dessert is American in origin, but features a Teutonic name and involves layers of chocolate cake topped with pecans and coconut mixed into a custard frosting?
Can I get that again, please?
Yes. What popular dessert is American in origin, but features a Teutonic name and involves layers of chocolate cake topped with pecans and coconut mixed into a custard frosting?
I have no idea. Teutonic?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what Teutonic means.
That, Mark, is actually the key to this question. If you did, the answer would pretty much reveal itself.
I had a team that didn't know what the word iteration meant
this week. That's tough.
Yeah.
I would tell you what it meant, but it would give you the answer here in this sense.
Teutonic is probably related to bubonic in some way. Teutonic, like the Teuton. Grand Tetons. I wonder if it's Native American in some way. What dessert?
Layers of chocolate cake?
Oh, maybe it's like the Tudors.
Topped with pecans and coconut mixed into a custard frosting.
Layers of chocolate cake topped with pecans and coconut. And then those layers of cake with that stuff on it is mixed into...
No, the cake is layered, but the frosting is a mixture of pecans, coconut, and custard.
Okay, I'm going to go then with... I'm not sure about the Teutonic thing, but I keep thinking... what is it called? Why can't I think of the name of it? German... What is it? Jesus Christ. Is it German food? Not German food cake. Why can I not think of this name? And I know it's got like coconut on it. And it would make sense that you said Teutonic, and if it had something to do with Germany, it would give away the name. It's called fucking I'm missing a word. Am I going down the right alley, or am I wasting everyone's time?
You're going down the right alley, my friend.
God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
German. Oh, talk about yelling at your fucking radio. Because I know everyone... See, here's the thing, is that I like this a bit. It's always too rich for me. I'll have like a bite or two, and I'm like, ugh. It's called... Oh, my God. They have fucking donuts. German... Is it something German cake? It's the kind of thing where it's like, oh, my husband loves this, so I make it for him for his birthday. German. Oh, my God. Oh, what the fuck? Why is this not in my fucking brain? See, you didn't expect this, I bet. You thought that if I knew it, I'd at least just fucking know the name of it. But you just get to enjoy me sussing out and deducing what it is, but not being able to remember the fucking name. German food cake? German. Oh, what the fuck? Now I'm mad. I'm turning into thinking this is cute into being angry. It's called. Is chocolate in the name? Chocolate. Oh, I'm going to get like so fucking into my head about this. I said I was going to give myself a short suss, but I know this. It will be impossible to let this go. I'm making.
This is just sad. This is like seeing a tortoise flipped over on its back.
Maybe if I like, eat a Kit Kat.
It's almost. You need a break.
Give me a break. Break me up a piece of this Kit Kat bar.
Can we just talk about how the world of commercial televisions, what a boon it's been for a cappella groups, singing groups, across the board.
Did you ever see the funeral for the guy who sang the I Want My Baby Back, Baby Back, Baby Back Ribs?
No, I didn't.
He had a barbecue-themed funeral.
Nice.
And then his casket looked like a smoker.
That's awesome.
I'm kind of depressing, but...
That means, you know what that means, though? That guy had a sense of humor.
Hopefully is what he wanted.
Oh, yeah, I hope so, too. I'm assuming that that's what he wanted. Otherwise, pretty disrespectful.
Now I'm thinking devil's food cake, but I don't know if that's it. German devil cake? Devil German cake? Devil's food cake? German something German cake? German chocolate cake? German... Oh my Christ! It's called...
You said it in that list.
Did I?
You did.
Well, what did I say? German devil cake? It's not, can't be that. That's not right. Devil German cake is not that. German food cake? It can't be that. It's devil's food cake? I'm going to go with devil's food cake.
You're so close. I mean, you did say it. German chocolate cake. German chocolate
cake. That's all it is?
That's all it is. And I'll tell you the interesting story behind that name. The recipe that appeared in Dallas Morning News was attributed to Mrs. George Clay in 1957, which Wikipedia cites as its creation date, but a version had been previously published in the Irving News Record, also of Dallas, where it was reviewed as wonderful and unusual. It's believed that the cake was being made by various bakers since as early as the 1920s, but had not been as popular as chocolate had been unaffordable during the Great Depression. It was originally called German's chocolate cake, named for British American baker Samuel German, who developed a type of dark baking chocolate used in the original recipe. But at one point, the possessive S was dropped from the name to lean into the misconception that the cake came from Germany. The recipe was so popular that German's chocolate saw a boom, with sales increased 73% in 1 year. And it can still be found on cake menus and holiday feasts across the U.S. to this day. But yes, German chocolate cake was the answer that I was looking for.
Never have I been so angry.
You pretty much had it. And then...
Well, that's what's frustrating.
You did the Book of Let's Go thing. You veered away.
I'm going to give you the easier version. I can tell you're upset. I'm going to give you the easier version of this question.
Thank you.
Katie Lied is the fourth album. And that line comes from the song Dr. Wu. The song Dr. Wu was covered by what early punk band that was headed by singer and guitarist Dee Boone? Thought you'd know that.
No, Dee Boone. Well, I know Dee Snider of Twisted Sister, but I wouldn't call them punk.
This is Dee Dot Boone.
Oh, okay.
First initial.
Well, I'm going to stick around New York because I'm thinking maybe Birds of a Feather, you know, another New York band. And Boone is not Ramon. So I don't think it's the Ramones. Maybe it's the New York Dolls. They were a early punk band that was in New York. It's not the Sex Pistols. You said early punk band, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the three. I mean, there are some smaller ones, you know, that were proto-punk, like Death out of Michigan. Great band. If you're not familiar, not the metal band Death, but the punk band Death, check them out. There's even a really good documentary about them as well. It could be Black Flag. They were over in California. And they had a range of singers. Henry Rollins is known as kind of the most popular singer of the group, but they had at least two, I would say, singers before that. It could also be, going back to New York, it could be Fear. Fear was the group that John Belushi begged Lorne Michaels to have on Saturday Night Live, and they just, like, they didn't really trash it, but like there was a mosh pit and Lorne was not happy. I don't like this. No.
John, do me a favor and never have them on again.
Well done.
Thank you. Fear more beer.
Fear or New York Dolls. I'm going to go with the New York Dolls.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Wrong. Singer and guitarist Dee Boone, drummer George Hurley, and bassist Mike Watt comprised of the band...
The Walkmen. No?
Minutemen.
The Minutemen.
The Minutemen.
Sorry, I always get them confused.
The Walkmen did We've Been Had. Actually, I just played them for a friend of mine. Yes, the Minutemen.
The Minutemen.
And the Minutemen's version is very different. I believe it's on the album Double Nickels on the Dime, which is a fantastic album if you like music at all. I know Seth is a gigantic fan. Yeah, it's very, very good.
Nice. Award-winning cartoons.
Okay.
What Emmy award-winning cartoon stars Jeremy Shada and John DiMaggio and is set in the land of Oo, 1,000 years after the Great Mushroom War?
One more time.
What Emmy award-winning cartoon stars Jeremy Shada and John DiMaggio and is set in the land of Oo, 1,000 years after the Great Mushroom War?
You didn't say what year they won.
Mm-mm.
The Great Mushroom War.
I believe they won several Emmys for this cartoon. And I'll give you as an extra hint, it also features regular cast member Tom Kenny, who you and I know from Mr. Show. Some of our listeners might know as the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, perhaps his most famous role. Mm-hmm. But he's a regular cast member on this series as well.
You said an Emmy?
Mm-hmm. They won for Best Outstanding Animated Series.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, the only thing that's coming to mind because you said mushrooms... is the Smurfs. But then you said Tom Kenny. I don't think he was around back then. I mean, he was around. I don't know if he was
like two
doing voices. Yeah.
He was going goo goo gaga.
And an Emmy. I mean, those are usually like nighttime shows. I think there's a daytime Emmy. Maybe you're just not making the clear distinction for a reason.
No, they were primetime Emmys.
Cartoon at night. Primetime Emmy. 100 years after a mushroom war?
1,000 years.
1,000 years.
Frozen in carbonite. Another C-Lab reference. There go
my nipples again. Man, I have no idea. Might end up being a cartoon I barely know about. I'm just going to say, Futurama.
Oh, that's so close because John DiMaggio does voice Bender on Futurama, okay. But he also voices Jake the dog on Adventure Time.
Oh,
Adventure Time is the answer. Yes. And the Great Mushroom War refers to some event in the past where a nuclear bomb went off, killing all the humans except for the last one, Finn the human. That's why he's known as Finn the human. And, you know, the mushroom cloud That's why they call it the Mushroom War.
Gotcha.
Yep. Yeah, originally, the pilot premiered on Nickelodeon in 2007, but was rejected by the network for a full series run. It was eventually picked up by Cartoon Network in 2008, where it ran for 10 seasons, starting in 2010 and concluding in 2018. The show is currently in the midst of a revival on HBO Max with 4 movie-length episodes called Adventure Time, Distant Lands, and I enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, I know you and Kylan have been talking about how great all the music on there is.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been good. It's been always been a good show. Their fifth album, The Royal Scam, as we take our Steely Dan trip. The song Caves of Altamira is named after a cave complex located in what European country and is renowned for prehistoric parietal cave art featuring charcoal drawings and polychrome paintings of contemporary local fauna and human hands?
My answer is France.
It's incorrect.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious? I felt so good about that. I was like, I got this shit. France.
There was no sus. You just said, I'm going to say France.
I really thought it was France.
I'm sorry.
Is it Spain?
It's Spain.
Oh, okay.
If you would have taken a second to parse yourself out. Yes.
No, I would have guessed. I was so certain it was France.
Yeah, it was Spain. I'm sorry, friend.
I was like, that's not a very French sounding name, but I was, man, I know there's a lot of cave art in Spain.
Well, you know, when I said Altamira, I was thinking, you know, like Alta Vista, like you were going to probably be able to suss yourself through there, but no dice.
I betrayed myself.
There are some very cool paintings if you look it up. The earliest paintings were applied during the Upper Paleolithic around 36,000 years ago. The site was discovered in 1968 by Modesto Cubillas, and it's very, very, very cool stuff.
I'm going to have to overwrite my note in my mind there about that. In my mind, I was just like, cave art in France. Didn't they just find something in like Mexico too? More cave art? They found like a sprawling, like miles and miles like of hieroglyphic style cave art in North America. I'm not sure if it was in Mexico, but
I'm not sure.
Somewhere in North America. You didn't see that pop up on the news recently?
I didn't.
But yeah, they're saying it's going to take like many, many years to document it all because it's just like a winding facade that has a bunch of prehistoric art.
Those are some of the cave drawings. Isn't that badass?
Yeah, I thought that was in France. I've seen that before.
Well,
yep,
it was Spain.
Damn. All right, fruit slang, Mark. I know you've been waiting for this one. Fruit slang.
Can't wait.
You love fruit slang, right?
Love a fruit
slang. Saying like that's a fruit. That's a fruit. Known for its Eureka, Meyer, and Bears varieties.
Cultivars.
What citrus fruit's name indicates a quantity of 1 million rubles in Russian slang? Known for its Eureka, Meyer, and Bears varieties. What citrus fruit's name indicates a quantity of 1 million rubles in Russian slang? His answer is France.
Oh, that's France. Eureka sounds familiar to me. Citrus. Citrus fruit with a name that has Russian origin? That's queer.
Well, it indicates a quantity of 1 million rubles, which is their currency in Russian slang.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess in that it was worth that much. I would say I know pineapples were really expensive, but pineapple is not. Citrus, orange, apple. Lime, lemon. And a lime. Man. ₹1,000. I wish I knew more about Russian currency.
Did you say 1,000? It's 1 million.
1 million rubles. Mm-hmm. That's an expensive fruit.
Well, it's not necessarily the cost. It's a slang.
Well, I guess that's what I was thinking. It was like a slang term.
Oh, like you need a million to afford
like,
it.
Yeah, like it's expensive. If Russia was buying it, which I mean, if it's
if it's a
yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna say the durian.
No. I'm not even sure if that's a citrus. I don't know. The correct answer is lemon.
Really?
Yes. Lemon means 1 million rubles. I couldn't find the source of the etymology on this. I looked long and far. The U.S. sources claim that the lemon is a sign of upward mobility. Like you were saying, like, oh, they're hard to come by, so only the wealthy have lemons. But all of the Russian sources that I found on this called bullshit on that, because lemons apparently, from what I can tell, are cheaper there than they are here. It's like $1 US for 2 pounds of lemons.
Jesus.
Yeah. And so it seems that it might be that just kind of like the Cockney slang thing, the words themselves sound similar. Lemon and million. It's like the same in English, million. So that's probably closer to the truth. I couldn't confirm that, but it seems to be the case. And okay. Then 1 billion rubles is known as a watermelon.
I was going to say the same thing. Question number 6, your last question of this round. What album do you think this is?
Asia.
Okay, perfect. Yes, great.
Finally.
Good job.
Got to get this, something right here.
In this song, Deacon Blues, mm-hmm. The Alabama Crimson Tide is mentioned. Do you know the line? This isn't the trivia question.
Call them Deacon Blues. No. Alabama Crimson Tide.
They got a name for the winners in the world. Mm-hmm. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blues.
Okay.
Every year, the Alabama Crimson Tide plays in the Iron Bowl, which is played against what rival team?
Well, I'm not a big sports fan.
Nope.
Shouldn't say I'm not a big sports fan. I'm not a big sports watcher. I don't follow sports.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say I'm not a fan. I don't want to come off like, I hate sports.
I think there's nothing wrong with saying I'm not a sports fan.
Yeah.
I think that is...
Fan means fanatic.
Well, I mean, I think that's... If you don't like sports, that's fine. Yeah. I don't think there's any sports person, sports lover in the world that thinks everyone should love sports. I think they probably have this, like, you'd probably get into it if you had a team, blah, blah, blah. But I don't... The number of sports people that want non-sports people to get into sports is much less than people who don't like sports who are like, oh, sports ball. Like, you know, like, as long as you're not, like, belittling other people liking it,
yeah,
do whatever you want. If you don't like sports, I get it. I didn't like sports for a long time. I, like, would watch every once in a while when my dad watched or if my friends watched. And then one day it clicked for me and I was like, oh, I'm really into this.
Yeah.
And if you don't like sports, I get it. I don't like a lot of art. There's a lot of I don't like reading books. Like, everybody's got stuff they do and don't like. I mean, you know, I just shouldn't say I don't like reading books. I fall asleep reading books. But, yeah, like, I find information interesting. It's just everybody's got things that they glob onto and that they don't.
Yeah. So, the Crimson Tide rivals. Could be any of these teams. I don't know. Why do I feel like it's from Florida? Maybe it's UF. I know FSU and UF are obviously interstate rivals. Maybe it's the Buckeyes, Ohio. Some Midwestern, Michigan, the Wolverines. Maybe it's could be any of these. Can I hear the lyric one more time?
They got a name for the winners in the world. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blues.
Maybe it's a New York team. I don't know any New York college football teams. Does Bard College have a football team? The Bards. Yeah, I have nowhere to go on this. I'm just going to say it's I think the Buckeyes do a bit better than the Wolverines more regularly. So I'll go with Ohio, the Buckeyes.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. That laugh.
It's just for me right
every
now.
Every once in a while, it just rings a little louder than other times. The correct answer is the Auburn Tigers. The Auburn Tigers and the Alabama Crimson Tide from the same state.
Sorry, Aaron.
Mm.
Aaron Sullivan, big Tigers fan.
She is.
I let her down.
You did.
She's screaming at
and
her
the
radio
Auburn
right
Tigers
now.
Let her down when they lost in the Iron Bowl last week or 2 weeks ago.
Oof. Sorry again. All right.
I hate Nick Saban, so I'd love to see him lose. I mean, he's great, but I'd love to see him lose.
Isn't Saban the company that made Power Rangers?
Yep.
Okay. Great.
No relation.
Let's take a little break, and then we've got...
Rate those questions.
Yeah, we got some Rate My Questions.
Rate those questions.
Yeah.
And then we'll have our third round of trivia coming up after this little ditty.
Okay, we're back. Mark, quick miscorrection on myself. Those cave paintings were found in Colombia in the Amazon rainforest, not in North America, in South America.
Mm-hmm.
They're believed to be 12,500 years old. Extremely detailed art includes handprints and depictions of Ice Age megafauna like the mastodon, Ice Age horses, and giant ground sloths as well. So
damn.
We'll post a link to that in the show notes if you're interested. That's in Colombia. Not in France.
Mm, yep, it's very different.
Is there cave art in France? There's got to be. Yes, the Lascaux Cave.
Okay.
You can see it's similar to what you showed me from Spain, but different.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Similar, but different. The French have a different style, you see.
Yeah.
Are you ready to rate some questions?
I am.
Ba-da-ba-da-da-ba-da-ba-da-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da No, you
after missing on the first one.
Yeah, you did something interesting with it.
Go ahead and bruise it up a little bit.
We have a note here from Dallas as well as a question. Dallas says, love you guys, long time. First, the comments. When on the topic of tiebreakers, I hate rolling dice or pulling cards, as you mentioned. Trivia is not a game of pure chance, and breaking the tie of the highest scoring teams is a travesty. I guess he meant when using chance methods. Everyone is different, but I choose to use questions with a numerical answer, and if no one gets it correct, it goes to the person with the closest answer. I like that. That way you don't have to stumble across multiple questions. You can just go whoever's closest. That's great. Ideally, the question would be in the amount of a year, month, or day. It's usually in line with the final question of the round. I do this so there's less likely of a chance of ties on the question. That's okay. Good, Dallas. Yeah. I like that methodology. Now for the booty. Believed to be a part of a backgammon type of game called Senet. The oldest dice ever found dated around 2800 to 2500 BC and was located in what West Asian country? Believed to be part of a backgammon-type game called Senet, the oldest dice ever found, dated around 2800 to 2500 BC, was located in what Western Asian country?
What are you thinking?
Well, India, but I don't know if that sounds like an Indian name, Senet. To me, that's like, almost sounds like the Middle East, you know, like Egypt or something along those lines. Is Egypt considered West Asia?
I think, so. I mean, India no,
Egypt,
was the first
Egypt's thought in Africa.
Had. Yeah, Egypt's yeah. in Africa.
Yeah.
But India is the idea I had.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone always forgets it's an Asian country, which I love.
Right. Iraq. Is that too far west?
Maybe not.
Iran. Iran is east of Iraq, right? That's closer to Asia.
Yeah, I'm very bad at this.
Could it be Nepal?
I mean,
or Pakistan?
It could be. I mean, if we're adding in those,
Pakistan is next to India, right? It's close.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I think so. God, I hope so.
Senet. I am the Senet. S-E-N-E-T.
S-E-N-E-T?
Mm-hmm. Senet.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, when I think of Senet, I think of S-E-N-A-T-E.
Yeah, well, that's how we spell it here.
Senet.
In America. With regards to our government.
I think India is a good guess. It's big.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of chances of things being there. It's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm. I guess let's go with it.
All right, we'll go with India.
India. All right, I'm opening the link here. Perfectly formatted, by the way, Dallas. Thank you. Iran.
Oh.
It is Iran. Well, we were close. Okay, Senet. I guess I didn't even know that was related to backgammon.
Yeah.
I've heard it before.
I thought I heard the name before, but I might be wrong.
I think John Locke might mention it on the TV show Lost. That might be where when he's describing where backgammon came from. He's like, it's based on an old game called Senet.
You know,
some along those lines.
I temporarily forgot how much of a Lost fan you were.
Mm-hmm.
And then your wife mentioned Wheelchair Romeo,
mm-hmm.
an old webcomic you used to make.
Yes.
I was a fan.
Thank you.
And you had your website, wheelchairromeo.com.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what's there now.
Nothing. I think you're going to be surprised to know. I think you can buy it.
Wow.
But I was like looking through the images are all gone,
mm-hmm.
but you can still see your daily blog posts.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, oh boy, you're like lost, new lost comic every Monday.
Yeah, I was doing fan comics.
Yes.
Because yeah. there was a lost LiveJournal community that just ate that shit up. So when I posted the first one, it was more popular than any other comics I was posting online. And I was like, all right, I'll do this. So I would watch the episode on Wednesdays. And immediately after the episode aired, I would start making a comic about that episode, like a fake deleted scene or something along those lines.
Nice.
And yeah, it was fun.
Good.
It provided a little bit of joy as opposed to the pain suffered by either the show's plot or its sporadic airing schedule. Because the writer's strike happened at the same time. But yeah, good times.
And the writers were just dum-dums.
All right, and we have one here from Lisa. I believe this might be Whiskey Tango.
Oh.
I'm not sure, but I think so. They write, hi guys, I've been listening to the backlog. I like hearing how you suss out the answers. Here's a Rate My Question submission for you. I hope you enjoy it. The category is Famous Couples.
Mm.
What couple was married on October 20th, 1968, with the wedding taking place on the groom's private island of Scorpios, located in the Ionian Sea? Name both the bride and groom.
1968.
So Ionian Sea, that is around Greece. That is somewhere around Greece. So a wealthy Greek person?
I don't know if they have to be Greek, man. You think it's just beautiful out there.
Yeah. So just a wealthy person. Because when you have money, the world is your oyster. Right?
Or whatever?
Yes. October 20th, 1968, with the wedding taking place on the groom's private island of Scorpios, located in the Ionian Sea. Scorpios, that's S-K-O-R-P-I-O-S.
Hmm. Damn.
Name both the bride and groom.
68.
Yeah, who got married in the late 60s? What's going on in the world? The Doors? Psychedelic music? Gaining popularity? Could it be somebody related to the news? A newspaper person?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of who does own an island or who could own an island.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say like maybe Paul and Linda McCartney? Maybe John and Yoko in 68? The Beatles broke up in 70? But did he own an island? Yeah, he could.
Was Orson Welles married? He seems like he would buy an island.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of all the people that I know that own islands, like that dude that ran Virgin Records or runs Virgin Records.
Branson?
Yeah. Richard Branson. Everyone's crazy like that.
Yeah, but he's not that old. He would buy an island, though. Yeah. He seems like the island buying type.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
Paul and Linda McCartney. They got married later, though, didn't they? John and Yoko were first?
I mean, John was married to someone else, Cynthia, I think, first.
It still seems before their island buying years, you know? Like, you're in the Beatles. Are you buying an island while you're in the Beatles?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Who was the newspaper tycoon that his daughter, Patty...
Hearst,
yeah. William Randolph Hearst.
Mm-hmm. This is the thing, though. I mean, it's got to be a famous couple because we don't know William Randolph Hearst's wife's name.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's got to be two people that we know well. Can we hear the question one more time?
Like Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee.
Like that, you know.
What couple was married on October 20th, 1968, with the wedding taking place on the groom's private island of Scorpios, located in the Ionian Sea?
Sonny and Cher? Ooh. I don't know if they were married in 68, but I mean, that's a famous couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Sonny and Cher.
It's got to be something like that. It's got to be.
Then they seem like they would do that. I don't know if Sonny Bono had a island in Greece.
Like JFK was dead.
Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe? Norma Jean?
Maybe. Were they married?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he paid for a lot of her funeral, too, expenses.
That sounds right.
Or no, it wasn't Joe DiMaggio. It was Arthur Miller. The playwright Arthur Miller and Marilyn Monroe were married.
Would Arthur Miller have an island?
When did she die again?
Oh, fuck, man.
Probably around 68.
A little after JFK, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He died in 63? I think 63.
I just made a face. Mark is responding to my cringe face. I don't know. I can't see Arthur Miller buying an island. A playwright buying an island? That is so ostentatious. Who would buy an island?
That's the thing I keep getting hung up on.
Wayne Newton.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is tough.
It is.
Yeah. We didn't even rate Dallas's question. We just answered it and moved on. we'll read them both after this.
Yeah.
You
want to just go with
Sonny and Cher?
Sure. Let's go with Sonny and Cher.
Okay. Whoa.
Uh-oh.
What?
Lee is stopped dead in his tracks.
The answer is Mrs. John F. Kennedy and Aristotle Onassis. So Jackie Onassis is related to her marrying Aristotle Onassis, who is 23 years her senior, in a tiny Greek Orthodox chapel on the island he owns in the Ionian Sea. The woman who was known for so much sorrow said yesterday she was very happy. So this was after the president's death. I thought Onassis was like her maiden name. I didn't know that was a Jackie Onassis, because she was known as Jackie Onassis Kennedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jackie Kennedy Onassis, I believe.
Oh, okay. That would make more sense. Okay, Aristotle Onassis. I don't know anything about this guy.
Neither do I. Yeah, that's so I'd rate that question a B. It's factually correct, but I just think there needs to be something else in there. I don't think many people are going to know who he is.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly somebody does. Lisa knows.
Well,
this is but what clue would you add? There'd be nothing that you could add to this question that would get me to know this. I did not know that Aristotle Onassis was a person, you know, so I almost don't know how to rate this, I would say.
I mean,
it's so outside of my knowledge.
You know who Jacqueline Onassis is, and I mean, depending on how easy you want it to be, you could say what famous
first lady
was married on this island, I don't know how much easier or harder that would be. I mean,
there are hints here. There are hints here as well. So she included...
Lee, come on.
Well, I'm just saying, she included a couple hints. One is the bride, a mother of two, was tragically widowed earlier that decade. So that would certainly help.
Oh, yeah.
If you work that in. The groom was a shipping magnate and one of the world's richest men. So that I just did not know. So, yeah, I would say adding to me, Jackie O, now we know where the O comes from.
I want to be Jackie Onassis. Mm-hmm. I want to wear a pair of dark sunglasses.
That would, including the bride fact, for me would have made it a little bit easier to at least give me something to suss on. But I don't know if that would have made it too easy. So I like this. I'll give it 3 out of 5 stars. You know, okay. It's not a particularly fun question, but it works. And the hints here, I think, could be introduced to kind of help it along. I know if I asked this question at my live venues, I would get tomatoes thrown at me. Probably, unless it was like super difficult last question or something like that. But I would expect nothing less from Lisa, if you are a Whiskey Tango, who regularly does pretty well on our trivias. And then as for Dallas's question, believed to be part of a backgammon type game called Senate, the oldest dice ever found dated around 2800 to 2500 BC was located in what Western Asian country? I enjoy this question quite a bit. I don't see how it could be improved, really. I'm going to give this one. You know what? I'm ditching the star rating system. I'm doing it.
What?
Yep, that's right. I'm going to give it 2 thumbs up.
Now you're doing thumbs.
Yep.
I'll give it an A. I wish that it gave some other hint as to what the country was.
Okay.
You know, like maybe whose name means or known for its, you know.
You want some extra juice?
Yeah, just a little juice.
Juice it up.
It's a very good question, but I'd give it a solid A.
Nice. Yeah, I'll give Lisa's 1 thumbs up, Dallas 2 thumbs up.
Okay.
That's how I'm doing it.
All right.
And if you have a rate my question, feel free to write it in or a miscorrection, because I'm sure we said some incorrect stuff in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Send those to nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Okay.
Mark, your last Dan question for me.
Do you know the last Steely Dan album?
Asia 2. Before
they broke up?
It's Asia 2.
It is not. It's called Gaucho.
Gaucho. Okay, I did know that, but I didn't know it was their last one. But
yeah, well, they ended up having now. 2 albums later on after they got back together some years later. But in the song Babylon Sisters, Fagan mentions...
Donald Fagan.
Yes. Yes. I want to make sure... Hold on, I want to make sure I get this question right here. I didn't check the pronunciation because I am a... I'm an idiot. Okay, yeah, I was right. In the song Babylon Sisters, Fagan mentions drinking Kirschwasser from the shell. Kirschwasser is a type of brandy whose name literally translates to mean water of what fruit?
Well, if there's a fruit that is associated with having a water, coconut comes to mind immediately. And that seems like something that they would be into. Very tropical. Watermelon? I wouldn't really call the juice from that water. Like say, oh, this is the water of the watermelon. I don't know. I can't think of anything besides coconut that has a strong water connotation. And it has a shell.
Would you like the spelling?
Sure.
K-I-R-C-H-S-W-A-S. I'm sorry. K-I-R-S-H-C-H-W-A-S-S-E-R. K-I-R-S-H-W-A-S-S-E-R.
Hmm. Kirschwasser.
Indeed.
Well, coconut, I mean, that's got a k sound at the beginning, so that tracks. Shelled fruit. All signs point to coconut. I'm going with it. Coconut.
I'm sorry that's incorrect.
I joined in the laughter that time.
Kirschwasser literally translates in German to cherry water.
Oh, okay.
Cherry water.
Straight from the shell.
Straight I don't from get the it. Shell. It is strange. it is strange, but...
I blame you, Fagan. I blame you for that one.
Traditionally made from double distillation of Morello cherries, a dark-colored cultivar of the sour cherry. Now it is made from different kinds of cherries.
Okay, Kirschwasser.
Mm-hmm. Sounds yummy.
It does. Better than coconut water. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have the Kirschwasser. Grammy Award records, my final question for you.
Okay.
I'm not talking about albums. I'm talking about Guinness records,
it's basically. Singles. Oh.
Yes. No, yeah. Not even by the Grammy version of record.
Okay.
Yes. I'm talking about, you know, record-setting Grammy wins. Lauryn Hill, Alicia Keys, Norah Jones, Beyonce, Amy Winehouse, Alison Krauss and Adele had shared the record for most Grammys won in a single year by a female artist until 2010, when which performer won 7 Grammys in a single night? Lauryn Hill, Alicia Keys, Norah Jones, Beyoncé, Amy Winehouse, Alison Krauss, and Adele had shared the record for most Grammys won in a single year by a female artist until 2010, when which performer won 7 Grammys in a single night?
It was 10 years ago this evening.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. 2010. Do you pay attention to the Grammys?
Mm-mm.
No. Trivia, I think, helps.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't doing trivia, I would not
really
pay attention too much. But
can I have the list of the names?
Sure. Lauryn Hill, Alicia Keys, Norah Jones, Beyoncé, Amy Winehouse, Alison Krauss, and Adele had shared the record for most Grammys won in a single year by a female artist until 2010, when which performer won 7 Grammys in a single night?
I'm going to guess it's by a female artist.
Mm-hmm. I think Michael Jackson has 8.
Of course he does. Is it someone that is a complete shock? Not Beyonce. I'm going to guess Lady Gaga.
Wrong. Mark, it is Beyonce. It is. She matched a record for 10 nominations that year and won 6 of them for Song of the Year, Best R&B Song, and Best Female R&B Vocal Performance for Single Ladies. Parenthetical title, put a ring on it. Best Female Pop Vocal Performance for Halo. Best Traditional R&B Vocal Performance for At Last, a cover of the Etta James song. And Best Contemporary R&B Album for I Am Sasha Fierce.
And you listed her in that list of names?
Mm-hmm.
There's something awfully...
What do you mean?
There's something awfully...
What?
There's something awfully bad about that that I don't like, that I'm not happy with.
Why? Mr. Glitter here? You asked a question. You're the guy that asked what glittery material was invented by such and such, and the answer is glitter, and you have a problem with this one?
Yeah.
Why? It's worded perfectly. You could say, I said, by which performer? So that could mean which of these performers? It could be which performer in general?
I want you guys to write in and let us know how you feel about that. I want to know what the people think.
Oh, really? You don't like that I included her name in the list and she's the answer?
No, I don't.
I didn't say which other performer.
I know.
I just said which performer. And I'll tell you, 2 years later, Adele would match the record. They actually co-hold the record for this achievement. And for this year's award ceremony, Beyonce has 9 nominations, meaning that she could break her own record. Dua Lipa and Taylor Swift both have 6 nominations, so it's possible if they win all 6 of those, they could match the record as well and join Beyonce and Adele in that. You really don't like that?
No. Nope.
I'm surprised. I thought you would like that.
No, I don't.
Huh. Okay. Well, sorry to end on a sour note.
It almost angers me as much as me not remembering German chocolate cake.
Well, hey, at least you got Wolfpack, right?
You didn't let him down.
You didn't let your band down.
Indeed.
All right. Well, I think that's it for this episode, right, Mark?
Yeah, let me hear what you guys think. Maybe I'm overreacting. I'm curious to know what the people think.
I just find this so surprising after your glitter question. I thought that this was fair game. These kind of questions were like, you know, I thought you liked these.
It's different to me.
It's different when you're on the other end of it.
No, because glittery
material
Glitter is an adjective as well as a noun. Beyonce is Beyonce.
You could have said material.
If you said Destiny's Child and the answer is Beyonce, I'd be more fine with it. But yeah, glittery material. Glitter using it as an adjective, but the answer is the noun glitter, a thing. This is different to me. You've done a bad thing here today, Lee.
You've done
a bad thing today.
The fact stands. Now I have
to go have a McRib to calm down.
The fact stands that she was the one that set that record, though. So
you're right.
List of names aside, if you don't like it, if you want to take this question mark, you don't even have to include the list of
names. It just makes the sus hard because you're automatically discounting these people. I automatically discount them. Oh,
okay. So you took that to mean.
Well, it can't be any of these.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't go, well, he said glittery, so it can't be glitter. You do go.
Oh, I did. I most certainly did.
Really?
Yes, because we were debating
glitter
and sequins, and we were like, it can't be glitter. He said glitter. Let's go with sequins, because that's a glittery material.
But you were like, he would be so brash. He would be so bold.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
here I am now. I learned from you.
Yeah.
My role model.
But you hated when I did it, but you did it.
Well, you know, tit for tat.
Let me know what you think.
And let me know. I'd like to know too.
Team Mark, or are you hashtag Team Lee on this question?
Mark, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Lee. It's been a blast.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, keeping the lights on, keeping our website up, etc., including our quiz daddies Dylan, Tommy, and Tim, our team captains Sean, Lydia, Gil,
it's Gil,
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David Holbrook. Thanks to our proverbial light keepers Molly and Ryan, Nicole, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thanks to our Rumpel Snailskins, Doug, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
Mike, can I say the answer in the question or not?
Michael S.
Mike Sennett.
And Michael J.
Mike, juice of a cherry is called Kirvishnish?
Kirschwasser.
Kirschwasser. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Or please, please give us a call at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. And don't forget to join our Discord. And one last reminder, we're on Reddit now.
This is the last reminder.
r/No Nonsense Trivia.
Yes. While you're on Facebook adding us, don't forget to join the Facebook group. You can join that. Lee and I will add you lickety split. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
We're waiting.
To join us there. We are waiting. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.